A great way to support Daily Thunder is by visiting one of our partners, ShopGood. ShopGood has you covered on all Thunder-related clothing items, including original and hand-printed shirts, hats, and stickers for both adults and kids. Be sure to check out our Thunder Shield tee, which pays homage to Oklahoma's Native American culture and state flag. To view Daily Thunder's entire catalog at ShopGood, visit shopgoodokc.com/daily-thunder. Thank you for listening to this podcast and for supporting Daily Thunder. Welcome back. This is the Daily Thunder podcast for the last time this year after a game. I'm your host, Ryan Woods. I'm here with Brandon Rabar. Brandon, how are you? Actually, before we get into how we're feeling, I just want to get this one, get this out of the way. I hope I never feel this way after a win ever again. I hope this is the last time I feel so dejected and down.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's a bummer because we should all be rejoicing that Poku, the first round pick that started off the season, you know, looking like he didn't belong, to him closing the season with a game winner and a career high 29 points. We should be celebrating that fact, and kind of a perfect bookend of the season for him, from, you know, showing his potential and all those things. But instead, it's like, move aside, Mike Muscala of Miami, game winner in the bubble last year. We've got a new worst game winner in Thunder history now. Just kind of a bummer.
This was, I mean, I don't know how, so full disclosure, the game ended hour 15 minutes ago. We're recording this just short of 1 a.m. Eastern. This was a disaster. I have tried to decide another way to describe it since the game ended, and I can't. Like, that was the worst it could have gone. So there are a lot of ways to unpack it. I want to start with, again, the Thunder found themselves in a very, very precarious position that had nothing to do with themselves and their own intentions. The Clippers, for some reason, like, what little punks wanting to avoid the Lakers, a team they shared the building with, wanting to avoid the Lakers, stay on the other side of the bracket. A play-in team, by the way, the 7 seed Lakers, they are so worried about that they sat everyone, played Reggie Jackson and Patrick Beverley less than 10 minutes each, played Zubats like, what, 5 seconds, 6 seconds?
Yeah, I think the official count was 4 seconds.
Yeah. All in an effort to avoid a team they might not even get to see. Like, they might get bounced earlier than that. And I hope they do. They play the Mavericks, I believe. And I hope they're blasted to the moon in round one for what happened tonight. But yeah, Oklahoma City, they didn't play Dort. They didn't play Baisley. They didn't play Svi, they didn't play Ty Jerome. So you would think Oklahoma City's got the leg up, and yet Poku hits a game winner. Like, where do you place the blame on the fact that they won this game?
I mean, to be quite honest, yeah. I mean, first of all, I gotta agree with you that dodging the Lakers is such a weak move, especially when they wouldn't face them until the second round. We all were kind of like, okay, we don't have to worry about the Clippers resting their guys and purposely trying to lose because there's no chance for them to play the Lakers in the first round. Well, they're so worried about the Lakers that they're dodging them for the second round. I mean, come on. As far as placing the blame for this win, I mean, here's the deal. Poku is a rookie that the Thunder have a lot invested in. T- to me, it's fine that he scored 29 points, career high, game winner, and all those things. That's fine. He's a part of the future. Josh Hall scoring so much, that was just kind of a fluke thing. You know, he hasn't been good all season, quite honestly. He's shown flashes here and there, but you want Josh Hall playing those big minutes. I mean, that seems like it would be the best thing to do. Like, it seems like it would be great to play Charlie Brown big minutes, which it was, and probably should have played more minutes. But the biggest thing to me, the thing that I can't get over, is playing Moses Brown all those minutes. The Clippers were perfectly fine with letting the Thunder score at will in the paint because they didn't even bother bodying at Moses Brown with anybody even close to 7 feet tall. I mean, Serge was in there for a little while. Patterson, I mean, he's a power forward and he's not physical. And then they had Oturu on him for a while. I mean, Moses got every rebound he wanted. He blocked 7 shots. He had all those points off of putbacks and offensive rebounds. He just did whatever he wanted, and we played him 40 minutes. Like, no, make Poku – forget about point Poku. Play center Poku. Yeah. You know, it was, to me, by far the issue was Moses Brown was dominating, and he played all those minutes, and that's why the Thunder won.
He had 8 offensive rebounds. He had 18 for the game, and 8 of them were on the offensive end. I agree. I still hold Oklahoma City to blame for, like you're saying, for Moses Brown and for Poker. You have to take him off the floor. If he's the only guy that's going to create his own look or find a look for somebody else, those two guys cannot play
right
the last 5 to 6 minutes. They just cannot play. And
that was the
I don't know if they have enough bodies outside of those guys to sit them. I would assume they, I mean, I would rather have seen Teo than Poku at the end. The Clippers are to blame, I would say, mostly.
Yes.
But this is a team that they haven't been practicing losing games all year. And they got it right. Like, they did it on a night that they wanted to. And Oklahoma City has been at this for 2 months. Like, you have to lose this game. And they didn't. And they went from a tied for third best lottery odds to now tied for fourth with Cleveland, a team that we thought we had dodged, right? We thought we had avoided them. And with their win just a few nights ago. And now, I mean, after all of this, after all of these losses, you beat the Celtics and you beat the Clippers to avoid, like, they could have been third all by themselves, and they will split odds with the Cavs. Like, it's a painful, painful win.
It's a very painful win. It hurts the odds for a top four pick. It hurts the odds for a top five pick. And I'm with you. Here's the deal. Once the ball is tipped, the Thunder playing to win, you know, regardless of, you know, like the Scott Van Pelt segment on ESPN and things like that, the Thunder are trying to win once that ball is tipped, and Daigneault is coaching to win. Now, that said, they didn't start Maladon or Roby in the second half. And quite honestly, I think they did it. You know, that was kind of the effort. You know, they make the decisions at the beginning of the game, then they made them at halftime. But other than that, in between the lines, they're going to try to win. And I think that was the difference. The Clippers don't care about, like, integrity of the game. Like, you know, once it's tipped, try to win. They're like, no, we want to avoid the Clippers, or we want to avoid the Lakers. So we'll play Reggie a few minutes. We'll play Beverly a few minutes. Then he's done. Oh, he's playing too well. He's done. Oh, we're not going to play any 7-footers. We'll let their Moses dude score a wheel. Like, it was like an intentional tank for the Clippers this game, whereas the Thunder were still trying to tank, but do it morally, if that makes sense. Like, do it with keeping the integrity of the game intact. And honestly, I wouldn't have. Like, it kind of, not that it undoes all those things. And, like, you know, at least the Cavs that win still helps because now at least the Thunder are tied with them instead of being fifth and those kind of things. And the Wolves won tonight. That actually ended up being big. Didn't think it would be because at least there's not a three-way tie for fourth place. But once you tank for a month and a half and lose all those games, to me, you know, integrity game is out the window. Play Maladone at center if you need to. I don't care.
Yeah. So the turning point of the game for me, 2 minutes left in the game, Kennard hits a shot to go up by two, 110-108. Oklahoma City calls timeout. We have one thing before that in the game that we'll get to in a second. They come out of timeout. Poku fires the ball out of bounds. They rule the ball out of bounds off Oklahoma City without it being touched, and it's Clipper ball. They go to review. I was on the Clipper broadcast, and they showed two replays, two different looks. Neither of them looked like the ball was touched. So I didn't see any other replay. There was probably more, obviously, that the officials were able to see. Maybe you saw – were you at the game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Did you see a replay that was conclusive that the Clippers touched it?
No, I didn't. I didn't see conclusive evidence. They didn't really, you know, usually a lot of times they show that on the board. They didn't show it tonight. You know, and I think some of that's affected by usually there's fans in the stands. And anytime there's fans in the stands, they always do it. But this year, you know, as far as it's just media and the players and the coaches in there. So they haven't been showing those replays as far as, you know, those instant replays go. They haven't been showing them up on the big board.
So that play results, well, the replay is overturned, goes back to Oklahoma City. Josh Hall gets fouled. If fouled, I want to put air quotes on fouled. Luke Kennard literally pulled his hands away and still got the foul called on him. Hall did miss the free throw, but they went back and forth a couple times before Poku gets fouled, hits two free throws, and then Patterson tied it, and then Poku hits a dagger three with 48 seconds left to go up by three. The other bit from tonight was, and you had pointed it out, that Dagnall challenged a foul. What are we doing? He challenges a foul on one of Moses Brown's many erases of 2 points for the Clippers on the night. Like, Moses Brown took away so many points at the rim for the Clippers that looked like easy dunks or easy putbacks that he recovers to because he's playing the game like it's a game seven. Like, there is zero awareness for the goal. And we've said it before. I loved your term earlier in the season that they just lost the plot. And that was Moses Brown in this game, the entire game. Like, it was Moses Brown and Josh Hall and Poku. They were the only ones that weren't in on the joke. Like, that entire game was a joke. And it is, I think it was John Hamm said, like, this is a proponent of letting the top three seeds pick their first round opponent. Like,
yes,
whatever you have to do to avoid what happened tonight, you have to do from a league's perspective, because that was really bad. Like, it looks bad on, or it looks good on no one. The Clippers, I'm sure they're excited tonight. If Oklahoma City had lost tonight, it still doesn't look good how bad a product that was on the floor. And that zero, like, that both teams were just giving, they both wanted to lose the game. How can we avoid those situations late in the season? I'm not sure. But yeah, like, Moses Brown, Josh Hall, Poku, like, that was tough. And like you mentioned, Dagnall challenging that play, taking away points for the Clippers, like, turned, it came back to bite them.
I was bewildered. I couldn't believe that he challenged that. I mean, they had two free throws and they just took it away. And And, you know, some people on Twitter said, well, you know, that way they won't have one for a game changing play at the end. But to me, that's like two guaranteed, you know, fairly guaranteed, 1 or 2 points likely from a good shooter that the Clippers are going to have. Do yeah. not take those off the board. That's too big. It was too tight a game to take those points off the board. I that's why I'm saying I really feel like Daigneault is coaching to win once that ball is tipped. And, you know, at halftime, like, okay, well, we'll try to help the tank a little bit here. Won't start these guys, but then, you know, once it's going on, we're going to try to win. And I think that's what happened, because you cannot leave Moses Brown in that game. Unless he 7 blocks, 8 offensive rebounds, all those points and rebounds. I mean, he dominated that game. And the thing is, again, I'm fine with Poku because he's part of the Thunder's future. We don't even know if Moses Brown is a part of the Thunder's future. I like him. I like his potential and his ceiling, but will he reach it? Will he be around? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he's the backup center of the future, but
they sat the better guy. They sat the better guy for the second half. Like, Isaiah Roby's just better.
Right. Yeah, no. But Roby was playing power forward, so they set the power forward, but, you know, you could have played Horde or Bradley at center and sat Moses instead, because
yeah, this was a game for Tony Bradley.
The Clippers didn't have anybody that could match up with Moses Brown. So all it was is he was bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just huge compared to what the Clippers had out there. So he was going to dominate. So I just can't believe that he got so much run instead of Bradley or Horde coming in and taking some of those minutes, especially down the stretch.
For those saying that he needed to use that challenge at that point as to not have it late in the game, his job should be to hand Sam Presti his coach's challenge from tonight's game as a badge of honor, as a Willy Wonka golden ticket. Like, leave the game with it. Do not use it. There is no point.
Yes.
There is zero value in using that challenge to really get anything other than a play that would only help the Clippers. If you think I know for a fact that we wouldn't win this challenge, then burn it. That is the only reason you use it, is to light it on fire or walk back to the locker room after the game with it still in your pocket. Wow. It's a frustrating night.
It's you know, because the Thunder had gained so much momentum in the lottery odds and, you know, the Sims on Tankathon and all those things. I mean, it's in the grand scheme of things, it ended up being, because everybody quoting the 52.1%. It wasn't that high because they were going to be splitting the third place odds. So it would have been 50%, and now it's like 45.2. They lost about 5% for a top 4 pick, but they lost about 8%-ish for a top 5 pick, which hurts. So it's significant. Plus now they can drop down further. You know, they can drop to 8 conceivably. Probably not going to be that low. You know, at worst you could expect 6 or 7. But you know, the ping pong balls will happen like they happen. But yeah, when you're fighting all season long for every single percentage point to lose 5% and 8% there at the end, it hurts.
To lose, what did they, so they finished 2-23 over their last 25?
That sounds right. I think so, yeah.
So to go on that huge of a stretch and then to end the year on a win, I can't, and to a Clipper team that we own all of their picks, to a Clipper team that has one of our former guys in Paul George, a bunch of our former guys, Ibaka, Patterson, Reggie Jackson, like, for that team to out tank them, on the last night of the season. I just didn't see it coming. I did not think we were going to be sitting here talking about a win over the Clippers.
No, they just wanted the – they cared less and wanted the win more – or wanted the loss more. You know, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think the Thunder did want that loss, but the players didn't want that loss. That's the difference. The Thunder have a lot of young guys that want to prove themselves, that want to show that they belong in the league. Josh Hall, Poku, Moses Brown, Charlie Brown Jr. Those guys were fighting hard. The Clippers were playing guys like Patrick Patterson, who just did not care. Yeah. I mean, he didn't care. You know, and they had, you know, they've got guys like Terrence Mann, but then they got like Yogi Ferrell. I mean, these are vets, but they're end of the bench, third string bench vets that just didn't care.
And Terrence Mann kind of like, he kind of accelerated that run, and then they didn't close the game with him.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. If any Clipper was playing well, they got pulled. I mean, they were very serious about losing that game. It's funny that they were so passionate. They were more passionate about avoiding the Lakers in round two than the Thunder were about, you know, draft lottery odds. You know, I want to tip my hat to the Thunder players, the young guys, Poku, Hall, Moses, for playing so well. And I do respect the fact that the Thunder, even though they've been tanking, and even though there's been segments on ESPN about them tanking, and it's very clear what was happening, they do it with integrity. And I got to tip my hat to that. I mean, I think they try, and they're not going to pull out all the stops and just yank anybody for playing well if it comes to that.
So tomorrow is media day. Is there anyone in that room that's going to have the courage, I'll use the word courage, to ask Sam Presti about tonight? To ask him about, like, what happened? What are your feelings along those lines?
Yeah. Barry Trammell. Barry Trammell will. My buddy Steve McGeehee from Channel 9, he kind of asked one tonight. He said, you know, the opening question that he had for Daigneault in the media session tonight was, you know, Poku career night, that's cool, and the guys did well, but what do you think? You know, a lot of Thunder fans didn't really want to see that. And Daigneault didn't really address that. He just kind of addressed how happy he was for the guys and how hard they had played, and Poku, and, you know, the where he started and where he finished and all those things. Kind of avoided the whole, you know, when fans didn't really want to see this win part of it.
I mean, how
it
many games?
Smooth. He answered games? It smoothly.
How many games have we come on here afterwards saying, like, Poku's shot looks good and it'll probably come around, but he didn't shoot the ball well tonight, and he saves it for this game to light it up? What, 6 of 9 from three?
Six of 9 from three. I mean, just absolutely absurd. Yeah, that was the thing, because, you know, the game before this, he was 0-for-2 from three for 6 points. Now, before that, he was pretty efficient, 4 of 8, then 2-for-4 from 3 for 10 points. Before that, he was 2 of 7 from 3, 5 of 11 from the field for 13 points. But, yeah, of all nights, for him to go off tonight, of all nights, just, you know, you just have to hope that, well, it doesn't come back to bite the Thunder, because it was a big night for the Thunder's rookie.
When the fourth quarter opened, Oklahoma City was down 2. The first play went to Poku for a 3 that he made. That was when the alarms were, like, really going off. Like, the Dwight episode of him, like, starting the fire in the office and the chaos that ensued. Like, that was my emotions after we went up 1 to start the fourth. It was very apparent that, like, this was going to go down to the wire, and that Oklahoma City is probably going to do just enough to win it.
Yeah, I mean, it became pretty apparent to me once I realized that Poku and Moses Brown were staying in the game and that Josh Hall was just going to hit everything that he threw up.
Yeah.
That is, I just felt like it wasn't the Thunder's night, which is funny because they won, but it just felt like it was one of those nights that shots that shouldn't go in, that haven't been going in all season for guys, are going to go in, and the Clippers are just going to keep chucking from three, and they're going to let Moses do whatever he wants down low. It with several minutes left in the game, it just felt like the Thunder were going to win it. You just could kind of sense it.
So Oklahoma City finishes the year 22-50. 22-50, that is tied with Cleveland. Orlando finishes by themselves in third. Orlando had a chance to win their game today, and then they did the old pull everybody and make sure we don't come away with this win against Philly. Philly was sitting most of everyone today as well. So Orlando finishes in third. You know what I mean when I say third. We've done this enough.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City finishes tied with Cleveland. That is good, though, that Minnesota's now at 23. At 23 wins. That does help. Poor Minnesota fans. They are probably going to hand Golden State a decent pick in a good draft. But, yeah, that wraps it up. Pretty wild that we have crossed the finish line for this Thunder season. Media days tomorrow, we'll hear from Presti, we'll hear from Coach Dagnall, we'll hear from Thunder players. Hopefully we get to hear a little more from Shea, like straight from him, like how he's feeling, how his foot is feeling. Maybe we get some a little bit of insight before we don't see these guys for a while. Brandon, what a year, dude. What a wild year to be podcasting after every game.
Yeah, it's been wild, but it's been fun. I've enjoyed doing this. It's been a crazy season as far as COVID and no fans in the stadium, shortened season, weird schedule, then the Thunder, losing games and all those things. End of the day, though, I enjoyed this team. There's a lot of excitement about the future because of Shea and Dort and Poku and all those draft picks. And so I'm excited to see, next season, I think is going to be a lot of fun.
Let's hope that there's a lot of things from this season that you mentioned that I hope we never deal with again. Number one being no fans in the stand. Like, I'm really excited to see and hear Thunder fans back in that building. I know there's a lot of Thunder fans that are ready to get back. So I am pumped for next year. Hopefully we're able to see a full house again. Hopefully we've added a couple of really quality pieces to this team. But one thing that will continue is something from us after every single game. I will say, full disclosure, last game we recorded and the audio was so bad we spared everyone from releasing it because we had some serious audio issues. So but we overcame them. Tonight we are good to go. So Brandon, seriously, thank you for jumping on here with me all year. This was a blast. Hope it was fun for you, and we'll get back at it next year. This won't be the last of the Daily Thunder podcast until next year. We'll have a lot of stuff coming your way, especially as we lead up to lottery night. And then after that, once we know kind of where Oklahoma City is picking, we will be doing a lot of episodes that are detailing prospects and how they might fit, and the ones we like, the ones we don't like, the ones we think that Presti and the Oklahoma City front office are really eyeing. And we'll try and get some guests on here as well to talk about, I should say guests that watch a little more college basketball than us to come talk to us about the guys that they like. So we'll have some fun with it. This is not goodbye until next season, but this is it for the post game shows. So one more time, Brandon, thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. It's been fun, Ryan. You've been doing a great job hosting this. And yeah, stick around to dailythunder.com and the Daily Thunder podcast, because the off season for the Thunder this season is actually going to be more exciting than the season was for the Thunder this season. So stick around.
Absolutely. All right. To everybody listening, thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon. This is the Daily Thunder podcast. Hey, Hoopheads, we appreciate you listening to this episode of Daily Thunder. Be sure to check out other NBA pods on the Hoopheads Podcast Network, including Cavalier Central, Nuck If You Buck, 305 Culture, Spanning the Spurs, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, At the Buzzer, and Lakers Fast Break. There are also coaching-focused podcasts, Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachesMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, and Courtside Culture. Oh, and don't forget the network's flagship, the Hoopheads podcast, hosted by Mike Klinzing and Jason Sunkel, and featuring the best minds in the game from its grassroots to the NBA.